reversal
appeal. Oh, sorry, I'm here. I hear that.
Yes.
I'm like Batman. I can do many things.
To what do you, you guys attribute the universal appeal of this character? I mean, have you ever sat down? You must have tried to analyze it, tried to think it over, figure it out.
Take it, babe.
I'd like to both to try. I don't mind.
Well, I'll say what I think. I mean, okay. The reason I got involved, not being a gigantic comic book fan and growing up more in the series, I enjoyed... The thing I was attracted to was the images. I think they're just... Somehow they strike primal, the very primal images. Batman character, also the Joker character. It seemed that, for me, this comic book of any of them just captured... And I think probably has to do with bats. I don't know. You know, they're such great creatures. And they're very primal, and people... You know, anytime you show them a bat or something, something perks up, you know? I mean, people...
Usually terror.
Well, no, but, you know, people, I think, they're very beautifully designed creatures. They're very primal, old, and very interesting. And I don't know, I just, they're throughout history, from Dracula to operas and all sorts of things, and there's just something mm-hmm. that strikes a very primal chord. I don't even know what that is, but I know that that's... I mean, I know that's why I was attracted, because there was no other reason why I would be attracted so strongly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you just see all this stuff out there now, you know, an image that seems to be everywhere. It's like you have the DTs or something. But it's not that there's that many more posters than Indiana Jones posters. I think it's just a strong classic image that you were, you know. And so that, for me, is why I feel like much more of a detached, normal person in terms of my approach to the characters than, you know, veering from one side of the comic books to the other side of the TV series.
That's exactly right. It's unbelievable. Well, there you got it. Makes it easy on everybody. I'm not being a wise guy here. I don't think I have a clue. Honestly, don't think I have a clue, except that I noticed, even before this movie, I had noticed a kind of the swell of a wave about Batman. And I'm sure I was probably a year late in noticing it. It probably had been going on. I started to notice this Batman thing happening, and then all of a sudden Tim talks to me about this movie, and then as we were doing it, the wave just kept building and building, and now it's cresting, and I don't know. I don't know.
Michael brought a freshness to the role. In other words, he absolutely knew nothing about anything.
That's true, actually, because I chose that way, and also I didn't think I had time to come up with anything. And one thing I decided early on, I said, well, I mean, I'm not going to start going through comic books and stuff, because that's going to... I just don't want to work that way. I want to make this man stand on his own. And one thing I did, though, was think, well, maybe I should just go right to the source, bats. So I actually read a little bit about bats for a while and kind of checked out bats and tried to figure out exactly why bats, and I'm not sure I ever came up with a clear reason. And I don't think, it's never explained why, is it? I don't mean in our movie, I mean, I don't know
anywhere,
that it's ever explained anywhere.
Did you take the window at one point?
Yeah, would you have taken the role if you'd known the suit was going to be as wonderfully light?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a little masochistic, I guess.
Were you surprised by the fans' sort of proprietary sense that they had over this role? And were you hurt at first by what was apparently their negative reaction to the news that you've been cast?
No, because I wasn't aware of the proprietorship. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that. So... therefore, if you don't know, you can't get hurt by it. And then we went to England to do it, fortunately, where we didn't have to deal with it, which was a big bonus, because then it was nice to be there, probably much nicer for Tim, because he had more of a task, being a director. When you're away, you're over there working. It's about doing the movie. It's not about all the external things, which turned out to be a blessing. So a lot of this stuff was going on while I was over there. Then when I came back, I caught up on it, and by that time, I just found it pretty amazing, pretty funny. And I guess if I had had a real vested an opinion about it one way or another, that would have been hard, because then I'd have had to argue I had nothing to argue with. I had basically no knowledge.
Mm-hmm. What was your own reaction when you were told we'd like you to play Batman?
Curiosity. I was curious as to what the script was going to be about, and so I read it, and I just read it as a script, as a movie. And just really liked the script and liked the idea of Tim doing it.
Was it a character you ever imagined yourself in?
No.
You grew up with it too,
no.
I guess.
No, I didn't. And I didn't have any real frame of reference, fortunately.
So how do you? Because
I was never.
So how do you create the character, and how did you create the dichotomy between Bruce Wayne in the daytime and what changes in him when he puts on the bat suit?
Just pretty much guessed.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this. No, I. What I did was, I went with the character. I looked at the character as written, and I said, well, okay, forget that he's Batman. Let's say he's a sumo wrestler. You know, let's say he's a jeweler. Look at what he's about. Look at what he does and says. I mean, I found it.
This
really
Sam's script, the original script, the good thing was that Sam, more so than myself or Michael, was a comic book fan, so he wrote it very clearly with that in mind. So it wasn't like we were all just kind of, what are we going to do with this? It was clearly delineated and true to the spirit of the character and all. So
yeah, so
how would you define that, though?
Well, I looked at it and I started working from that. The guy I saw written on the script, and I found what I found, and I said, this is a very interesting guy to play. And then you say, okay, now this is this man who decides to put on a bat suit at night and go out and seek justice. And that made it even more interesting. I mean, that really made it very interesting. And then I talked about what my impression was of Tim, and Tim told me what his was. And once I decided to do it, then I just lay down a real quick base of what he is, and just as fast as I come up with, given the time I had to start with. After that, I was mostly following Tim and going on my instincts.
Had Clean and Sober been a greater success, do you think that might have saved you a whole lot of aggravation about, or for let's say, a whole people around involved in Batman about trying to defend the choice of you as the...
I'm sorry, give me that.
Considered more just like two guys. No, I mean, the way we did it on Beetlejuice and to a lesser degree, but on this, but I mean, we're just two guys trying to figure out how to do something. I mean, that my approach is that, you know. And, you know, I don't create those kind of boundaries. I try not to with anybody. And so now, we're all just trying to figure out how to make this, you know, weird thing work.
And yet at the same time, is there something about his direction that you feel more confident about going to extremes for?
Absolutely.
He can get you to do things maybe that...
He sees, sometimes if I have a thought that for a lot of people, they either don't understand or... It's not that complicated. Sometimes I get ideas where I want to really push things out to the limit. Generally speaking, I have an ally in Tim because he's willing to go even farther out. And I'm not even talking about for unusual sake, just take something out, you know, and that makes me comfortable. Put it simply, having worked in Beetlejuice and enjoying the experience, I wanted to work with him on something again. And then Batman came up, and then that was a good experience. So somewhere else we'll do something, and hopefully it'll be different again.
Did you feel...
That doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. I actually sat myself down pretty much. But that doesn't necessarily mean, I sat myself down on Clean and Sober in a lot of ways. I sat myself down on other things. But this, the choice was to be internal. And no, I didn't find the sitting down a bad thing.
Mr. Burton, did you look at some way?
I think I guess I must be, but I'm not a conscious, I'm not like an extreme film buff, or did I study film, or do I have a great vocabulary for film? My whatever, people seem to find lots of stuff, thinking they're homages. Anything that I would do is subconscious. I don't go out and say, let's do this, let's make this look like this, or this look like that. It's all a bit more specific. It's just down to really very specific little things adding up. So I don't consciously do that, even though, yes, I do respond to those things, but I don't really know that much about them. Just in the same sense, I got into this whole opera kick with this. Well, I'm not an opera fan necessarily, but I like certain aspects of opera and what it means. So it's not as upfront as that.
Did the actual set design help clarify your understanding of what you were doing?
Well, that's always important to me. It's always important to me, and I always like to, all part of the same thing. I never like to think of it just as set design versus, you know, then the actors. It's all part of the same thing. So it's all part of the same package, and I truly do lump everything in one thing and just try any little thing and don't think so much about like catchphrases in terms of let's make this expressionist or let's make this postmodern. I don't even know what those kind of things mean. What does postmodern mean? I don't know. Because I think things lose their freshness that way, so I just don't try. I don't think about that kind of love. I mean,
oh well, then you're postmodern then.
No, but you know, only in the broad sense. I mean, how many times has Phantom of the Opera or Beauty and the Beast been done? A zillion times. You know, it's like it's one of the three stories of the world, I guess. You know, so it's not like it is a great story. Yeah,
you know, Kane says that. Actually, the Mark of Zorro, the Fairbanks Mark of Zorro, was very important. But you guys seem to have reversed the idea where Zorro was the lover and Don Diego was the more impotent style character. But here, Bruce Wayne is the lover, and it's Batman who seems to be more cold or detached about a personal relationship.
Well, the tricky thing about these characters is that how do you analyze a split personality? How do you analyze, you know, I mean, psychologists spend weeks at seminars and they still can't, you know, I mean, what's the answer? Nobody knows. So, and here you're dealing with those issues in a comic book movie, so you're really laden with trouble. So what we just tried to do was give it a real shorthand sense of psychology, be true to the spirit of it, and leave it open enough for interpretation, not, you know, because as we were talking about, you know, the danger of a comic book movie is you don't want to start saying things like, you know, I'm avenging the death of my parents, or, you know, oh, there's a bat in the window. Now there's an idea. I mean, you know, you see the thought balloon coming out of his mouth. We tried to avoid that and actually leave things a bit more open, therefore, you know, maybe taking some of the edge off of the conventions of a, you know, seeing a balloon coming out of Michael's mouth going, I'll get you. Aye! You know, that kind of stuff.
What
was your initial hesitation? What was your initial hesitation? Like, you read somewhere that you sort of said, hold on first. I don't think I'm interested in doing this film.
I don't think anybody I don't know. Some people go from movie to movie. I just was done working for a while. Not like that's it. I had just done a few movies and I thought, I think I'll take a break now and look some scripts over and get some ideas and kind of regenerate and get some juices going again.
Because there was even the talk that you had always said that you wanted to work with.
Because I didn't want to necessarily blow it on this one. I wasn't sure this was the one to do with him. And then I thought about it again, talked to him some more again, and decided might be a good thing to do.
Red, you were worried about being
great.
Sorry. You can say more on that subject if you want to.
I was wondering about something. Does the size of the tape recorder run proportionate to the circulation of the paper?
We're not going to
do small leg.
The tape recorder is big.
What?
Well, anyway, we've also. Are you so worried about that?
No. I was never really worried about it. I don't know. I mean, I could be typecast as Mr. Mom. Mm-hmm.
Peter's just talking about a trilogy.
All right. Sorry?
Peter's just talking about a trilogy, though. I mean, after three.
Our heads snap. Yeah, baby. Three. Three, Pete.
All right.
What do we feel about that?
After three, I mean, you think it could be typecast.
Yeah, then I think.
Then it's the shopping mall circuit.
Yeah, that's right. Me and Tim Ryder. The old Batman tour.
What was it like to make the film over there and then come back and find that the movie and Batman had... What
happened was when I got off the plane from London for the final time, you know, after we wrapped the movie, and I got off the plane, I came down the ramp, and I was there was a guy who was working there, an airlines guy, you know, who takes bags. Not a porter, but he...
Baggage handler?
I don't know what he was. Somebody, baggage handler or something. I don't know what he was. Yeah, that's what it was. He was...
He says,
the first thing he says, hey, good luck with... What did he say? He said, how'd the movie go? Or good luck with the movie. And I just kind of gave a generic, oh, it was great, thinking, what movie? And then all of a sudden I realized the movie was Batman. And then I immediately put together, it was the first thing anybody said to me. And I said, Jesus. You know, that's what's going on. That's what's been going on. I got in one sentence what had been going on. Like, people over here are talking about the movie. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. I'm still amazed by it, if you know the truth. What was my first reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I was pretty amazed. I was amazed, actually, by all these folks over there who build sets and create special effects and do wardrobe. I just saw this thing and I thought, yes, because that was a question, you know, what will I look like? A reasonable one. And I saw it, and Tim said, well, I'm thinking of going, you know, kind of away with armor, because what do you do? It's not the television series, it's not a movie where he just happens to elude bullets every time. I mean, you know, his luck is not that good. So Tim had this idea of armor, and I said, well, I don't know, show me. He starts to show me sketches, and he's visual, so he gets things, and I'm relatively visual, so I get things, but not quite as clearly. Mm-hmm. So when I saw it, and they came over to the house and took a body cast and started building from that and putting this thing together, I thought it was pretty amazing myself.
Everybody, you know, that a lot had to do with Bob Ringwood, the designer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There, because I think he's the best costume designer. Again, the key people, him, Anton, the designer, and the Roger, the cameraman, everybody got into one theme, which was great, which was that you take a human being and make him something else. You make him Batman. You make a guy, you know, even though we don't state psychology and even though we don't get into a lot of that, everybody started from that premise, and that you know, then it just takes it from there. You know, you just it's a very simple beginning, and then, you know, everybody knows what they're doing that way. So, SM, I don't know, guy dresses up in a bat. I mean, what can you say about that? It's hard to remember exactly, because we did come up with stuff, and then there was stuff that was in the script. That might have been there. I think that was there. But
why were things like that pursued more?
Well, again, it's a can of worms. We truly were learning things as we went on this, and that's the best thing I can say, really, because Mike and I sit there try to figure out how we should move, and we'd come out with a movement that was great. We'd try it again, and it would look, you know, it would look ridiculous in another shot. And it was truly, I felt like we were all a bunch of, like, junior high psychology students when we sit around and talk about this, because, you know, you're trying to give it something more than just a single one dimension, and yet you can't open, always a can of worms there on the set waiting to be opened. And, you know,
was there ever a time when you thought you just couldn't
working within the band suit?
Learning how to do a movie like this, you know, it was unlike anything I had done before. So just adjusting to literally learning how to move in the suit. I don't mean necessarily run and jump and fight in the suit. I mean how to move to get the optimum effect. You know, turn your head to hit the lights right across, you know, because it's very dramatic. It's very operatic, you know, and Learning how to do that and is not an easy thing to do. So I never. That's one aspect of a movie like this. Another is that the movie is really larger than anything else. It's such a large scope that generally what I do is, how do I say this? It's in a sense more active. It's gearing down. It's learning how to gear it down. Not necessarily playing it down, though I did that. It's gearing down and being part of this. I had to learn how to be part of this kind of a machine. That's what it was. Do you understand? It was much bigger engine than I had been.
Rather than
used
being like
to.
The big
yeah,
showboat
like a,
at the center.
Right,
of the
or not necessarily.
The head right. Cheese. Come on.
You know what I mean.
Rather than being
a smaller players. Vehicle.
Okay. Yeah. Did it feel somewhat frustrating seeing Nicholson go off and do his wild things when you...
No, there? Because already when you read the script, you say, well, you know, this is clearly a more outrageous character, and I think the mistake would have been to, you know, try to change your characters. So you can sense when actors, you hear actors change their characters and rationalize them all the time to make them either, I don't know, be more, generally it's make them more likable, which I never agree with. You play the character as far as I'm concerned. Unless, you know, you're doing a certain kind of movie where, you know, if you're Timmy in a Lassie movie, be a nice guy. You know what
Pyromania.
I'm saying? right. But you know, and also they'll rationalize things so they get more attention or they can, so, and that's a danger. If I would have changed the characters and make him more something to have to compete with the Joker, you're a dead man. Also, it was wrong. It wasn't right for the movie. The movie is... certain things, so you have to act within the movie, and that paid off, you know. So I worked on the legs more than I normally do
as an actor, just as
like Tommy Hearns did, and it paid off.